Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us this morning. Apologies a little bit for my voice. It's just leftovers from a cough that I'd had earlier in the week, but I'll do my best to find some frequencies to get through this morning. But it's actually good to be feeling a lot better right now. Every year we have to go through this on two different occasions, and that's reminding God's people that the first thing that is affected by daylight savings time is church. And so next weekend, when you go to bed, make sure that you set your clocks. We spring forward, so that's the week we lose an hour of sleep. So be it. But just so that everybody knows, daylight savings time is coming up this coming weekend. So make sure you take care of that for next week. Just a quick comment for those of you that occasionally worship on Saturday night. The Chasco Fiesta Parade is Saturday afternoon. Faith Factor will be a part of that parade. They were working on beads and stuff like that yesterday, but because the parade starts about 1 o'clock, so they will not be participating in that service. So the service that we're going to be doing on Sunday morning will also be our Saturday evening service. So just basically one order of service for the three. We will continue our communion schedule the way that we usually do, but no Faith Factor as a part of next Saturday's worship. For all of you that have been going to our Wednesday night things, this coming Wednesday night is the chili cook-off. We're just going to have some fun with that, and for everybody else, it's just what we're going to have for supper that night, but we hope that you'll come and join us, if you enjoy that, try being one of our judges, because it's not that big a deal. Just tell us which one of those that you like the best. We'll talk a little bit more about that once we get to Wednesday. But there was a form that for everybody that was there Wednesday night, hopefully they got one of those as they went home. But if you missed Wednesday night, but you're going to be there this Wednesday night, come and see me after worship to make sure you get a copy of that piece of paper about the chili cook-off, the things we ask of those who are making chili and those who are not. So now that we're in March to Easter, Lily, the order form is now out because Easter, 4 weeks from today. 4 weeks from today, closing in on us fast. And so, finally, I've got a note here to make sure that now that we're into 2018, whoever is a member of Thrivent needs to make sure that their dollars have been directed for 2017. That has to be done by March 31st, and just a reminder about what those dollars are. They don't affect any other thing. They don't come out of anything that you work with just for being a part of Thrivent. You earn some of these, and whatever it is that you earn, you can designate them to Faith Lutheran Church or wherever it is that you wish. And then finally, I've got the reminder that we've got the voters meeting that is coming up here, here in the midst of the plans for God's people here as a part of our March calendar. So that is our regular March voters meeting. We do that twice a year. So that will be as we come here into March, of course, after late church. So, but one of the things I want to make sure we spend a few moments on this morning is a new program that's going to help us, that's going to give us an opportunity, also in the same way I was talking about Thrivent Choice, how it doesn't affect any of our other dollars, it just makes money for the church or whatever. And here it is, coming to Faith Lutheran Church. And the person that's going to be heading up this new program is Yvonne Berkey, and she's going to tell us a little bit about that.
Good morning. This program that we have discovered, Shop with Script, uses cards instead of money, or your debit card, or your credit card. When you go shopping, when you go to the restaurant, when you buy gas, when you go to the movies, when you order online sometimes, you pay the full amount of the faith card. But Faith Lutheran Church receives a percentage of that, and it is immediately put into our account for us to use for our different ministry programs. We're going to show a little video here that'll kind of show the basics of it, and then I'll talk a little bit more.
No one ever looks forward to fundraising. It's a chore that leaves parents frustrated and tired. But would you be willing to try a fundraiser if it fit with your lifestyle? Look no further than Gift Card Fundraising, or Script for short. Every Script program has a coordinator who manages the fundraiser. They decide how and when families order. They place the organization order, and it's their job to get the word out about Script to other families and communicate through email and social media. The first big push is getting families to join, but there are resources at a program's disposal to help market their program. The organization raises money on every gift card purchase, so the more they order, the more successful they'll be. With that in mind, coordinators can have families place their own orders on ShopWithScript.com, and they can even use our electronic payment system to avoid writing and dropping off a check. The coordinator places the organization's order, and a few days later, the gift cards are ready for families to pick them up. Some coordinators set up a Script store where they sell popular gift cards and distribute orders. The money is already in the bank. Now families just take their gift cards and use them instead of cash, credit, or debit cards on all of their purchases. With over 750 retailers with rebates averaging from 2 to 16%, and Shop with Script's mobile website where they can buy e-gift cards and reload their cards, families really can use Script for every purchase. So stop the pain of fundraising and save your time for the things that matter. Join the over 30,000 nonprofits who have raised money on their own schedule with Script.
Okay, so, but before we get too far, right now we are not going to have any of you order online. Everything will be done through me and the volunteers. And if anybody's willing to volunteer to help with this, just see me or Pastor Wendt. The orders will be placed on a Monday. We will have the cards no later than Friday, and so they will be ready for pickup at church that worship weekend. So right now we're planning on doing it on the second and fourth Sundays of the month, or worship weekends of the month. So you would receive your faith cards on the third and fifth. Or third and first. I will be in the back to answer questions later. The ushers will hand you these forms. One of these forms has how much can I raise per year? This is an estimate, and it's an average of what a family of four would spend on different things throughout the year. And by using the faith cards, they would contribute about $976 by just not changing your budget, not adding more to your envelope every week, but just by shopping. So I'll be in the back after service to answer any questions that anybody might have.
And friends, if there's one thing that has drawn us to Script, it is the list of places that take these, that actually participate in these, from Walmart and Winn-Dixie, grocery stores and general things, Home Depot and Lowe's, and Shell and Speedway for gas stations. Just about every restaurant you can think of except McDonald's, but all the other fast food ones. It's just, even in our area, the things that we go to every day, Wawa's on the list, Dunkin' Donuts is on the list, so... you're going to learn a lot more about this in the weeks and months to come, but do remember that this is something, one of the ways that we have come up with where hopefully we can help ourselves and just give us an opportunity to be able to keep ourselves focused on the ministries of our church here. Okay, let's begin our worship then, friends, by standing and greeting one another in the peace of the Lord. Friends, as you return to your seats, our opening hymn is a tune we don't often sing because it's unique to this particular hymn. It is a wonderful Lenten hymn. It's called In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son. Number 432, In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son. If it doesn't sound familiar, we'll just sing our way through it. Again, it's a wonderful hymn for the Lenten season.
In silent pain, the Eternal Son hangs derelict and still. In darkened day, his work is done, fulfilled his Father's will. Uplifted for the world to see, he hangs in strangest victory, for in his body on the tree, he carries all our ill. He died that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. The earth is stained to make us clean and bring us into peace. For peace he came and met its cost. He gave himself to save the lost. He loved us to the uttermost and paid for our release. For strife he came to bring a sword, the truth to end all lies, to rule in us our patient Lord until all evil dies. For in his hand he holds the stars, his voice shall speak to end all war.
As you are able, please stand. Our order of worship this morning is based on Divine Service Setting 4 out of our hymnals, or you may follow along on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition together. As his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given his life for us on the cross that we might have life. And indeed, life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation are ours through him who now lives and reigns forever. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's reading, taken from the Holy Scriptures, are appointed for the third Sunday in Lent. The Old Testament lesson is taken from Exodus chapter 20. The Lord gives the Ten Commandments to Moses and his people. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the seas, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day to make it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is taken from the first chapter of Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified. St. Paul writes, "For the word of the Christ is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who is being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, but many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand. And a reminder also that the verse that we usually sing at this point is also not sung during the season of Lent. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. Friends, no matter what the world seeks, what the world finds as the best message, our message here will always be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so then today, we remind ourselves, friends, that whenever we preach Christ crucified, we find ourselves constantly between two gigantic walls. I don't know how many of you remember the movie The Ten Commandments, where, and how much of that was really real and how much of it was just a dramatization, but that time when the children of Israel were finally able to go through the Red Sea, and here was this huge, you know, mountain of water over here and over here. And of course, you know, there was enough room for you to go, and it didn't really matter whether you were kind of more over towards this side or kind of over towards this side, but make no mistake about one thing. There was just as much trouble here as there was over here. But the only safe place to be was to be able to go right between those two. In the United States, we have some experience behind that. World War II is starting to fade a little bit in the memories of people because now it has been so long ago. And the fact that the memories are fading is unfortunate. But it's real. I watched some specials that had been made in the last 10 years or so, and they interviewed some of the people from World War II, and then I've come to find out as I read an update on some of those articles that even a lot of the people that they interviewed not that many years ago that told their stories about World War II, a lot of them are gone now. That there aren't nearly as many people left who actually served in the Second World War, but it was the most remarkable war the United States has ever been a part of because almost from the very beginning, we could look one way. And there was an enemy that had declared war on us and sought our destruction. And we looked the other way, and there was an enemy that had declared war on us and sought our destruction. And it didn't really matter what the two thought of each other. We had to fight two wars at the same time. And every single day, we would have had to have devoted ourselves. For example, every time somebody came available through the draft or whatever, well, are we going to eventually send this person to this war or this war? And every day, plans had to be made for this enemy here, and we had to devote our full attention to this enemy over here and what we were going to have to be able to do so that we could eventually defeat them, knowing that we don't dare turn our back on this enemy here, that we have to put all of our energy and attention in focusing on this enemy as well. You remember how the war turned out. But now we as Christians fight another battle. And really, it isn't a new one. We heard the words of St. Paul, where he said, there's one group of people where the cross and the preaching of Christ crucified is a stumbling block to them. Here was a group of people who all of these years had been prepared. Messiah is coming. And everything about the religion was focused on the coming of the Messiah. But then, when Messiah did come, well, we didn't think it was going to be this. And it truly was a stumbling block, something where it's like, well, if this is going to be that Messiah, we don't want anything to do with that anymore. And then on the other side were people who, for the first time, it made clear they're just as much a part of the promise as anybody else. And now people are going forth seeking out them to give them the message of the news of the cross. And what is it to them? Well, the word that's used in Scripture is folly, but we'll just simplify it a little bit. Utter foolishness. Now, we really don't know if the stumbling block crowd, the Jews, and the foolishness crowd of the Gentiles, whether they, in most cases, ever had anything to do with each other. They were united on only one front. Their hatred of Jesus Christ and the message that comes there to each one of us. And even though perhaps the enemies that we have changed ever so slightly, my friends, I gotta tell you, it is no different today. We still find ourselves as God's people needing to be able to feel the certainty and the comfort and the joy of knowing that the message of Jesus Christ crucified and Him risen will always be the greatest message in the world. Nothing will ever come close to it. And yet, while we feel that ourselves, and we want to be able to feel that on behalf of other people, we still have got both battles and hatred raging on either side of us. And yes, let's be honest. Even today, the cross and the message of it are a stumbling block to some people. I have prepared myself for what might happen societally and some of the kinds of things that now may take place in society that maybe the fact that I'm just scratching my head over some of it might be a sign I'm finally getting old, but it might also be a sign that society is getting more messed up than ever before. Friends, I got a level with you. I never thought I'd see the day where something like this, and I'm not talking about the message of the cross. I'm talking about the presence of this great big cross in the middle of this sanctuary is apparently a stumbling block to some people. This thing, especially if since it's so large, apparently intimidates some people. That's like, okay, what's going on in lives that something like that would actually intimidate people? Well, what was going on in the lives of the people that found it was a stumbling block then? Somehow or another, whatever they thought they heard, whatever the stuff that's going on in their life was telling them about Christ was all wrong. But just as there was still, for the people for whom found it a stumbling block years ago, there was no telling them what the true message was going to be. We face the same challenge today. That the message of the cross, and now sometimes the cross itself, is going to remain a stumbling block for some people. And we've got to find ways as we proclaim the message to get around that. But then, of course, it's not nearly as hard to believe that the message that we share is utter foolishness to other people. Now, that would seem strange. We have, in a society today, I just, in the last couple of weeks, I spent some time with my confirmation students on a couple of key questions. And one of the questions that I got to admit, I've never asked this question in a class before, but it seemed appropriate to ask my students. When you are in school, do you ever see much happiness or joy anymore? They didn't even have to think about it long. And they're like, no, not really. Lives that are so burdened with baggage seem to find so many things in life that are negative and apparently do not know what Jesus has done for them and how Jesus changed his perspective of everything about life. That is the one message that could break through this sadness that is so much becoming a part of life today and turn it into something that's real joy. But friends, before we can do that, we have to confront our own enemies. Yeah, I mean, as a church, we do face some of those things, but we personally are still having to deal with some of our own issues where somehow what it is that Jesus Christ has done for us could very well become a stumbling block if somehow or another we just don't see that the first thing Jesus does is invite us with all of our sins and all and the depths of sorrow that our lives have gone through as well. That in the time when we've lost maybe several people that were important in our life in a single year, that we remind ourselves of two things. First of all, when the Lord takes people to himself, he calls those who are his into a joy that we down here could not know. And even if we have lost some people, as the people that we have lost are people of the faith, we should not be able to help but feel joyful. Not just for them, but for us as well, seeing Christ's promises fulfilled. But then, we also have to stumble past some real foolishness in our own lives. Our Old Testament lesson today laid out the commandments, and realistically, what we heard today, and it was well spoken. In one sense, it perhaps could have even have stopped our Old Testament lesson after just three verses. The last one being, "You shall have no other gods before me." Martin Luther believed that no matter what all of the rest of the commandments are, and what they say, it's all about having no other gods. Or, in the case of way too many people, having things that serve as other gods. And I have to admit, in my lifetime, I have now watched the procession of what might be some of the predominant false gods in this world. I have seen it transform twice. You know, it's interesting that both in Scripture and also in how some of the other Protestant religions, as they number their commandments, there's this commandment about graven images. And we know that from the children of Israel and the golden calf. We know that from all of these little things that you can buy in stores that basically are intended to be replicas of gods that are used in other societies. We know that that can be a problem, and internationally it still is. But it might be fair to say that while we have as big a problem with other false gods in this country as ever before, that may not even be one of them anymore. Our new catechism actually lists some of the things that can become or have become other gods, and the graven image thing isn't even on that list anymore. But it doesn't mean we don't have a problem. Oh, yeah. Because then the second thing that we would watch were, you know, there was a kind of a small built-in list in which we would look at money, and certainly that will always be one of the chief gods. Other people, and the wrong people, that people are looking up to and saying, wow, if only I could be like, if only I could have the riches and the fame of such and such a person. That has always been a problem too. And in some ways it remains so. But now today, there's been another transformation. And while certainly the two I just listed are still problems, the Catechism has identified some things that are worth remembering that have indeed become other gods. Things that we should be looking to God first and foremost for our well-being, but instead we are looking to human achievements such as intellect, technology, or medical advances. And all I have to do is one of two things. Number one would be pull out that nice little phone that people, there was an estimate made last month about how many times the average person touches their phone. And I don't know that that applies to any of us here, but let's just say the number was embarrassing. That has virtually become the centerpiece of people's lives. And then technology. And then look, every one of us have benefited in some way or another from medical technology. And I would be glad to listen to the stories where you have. But sometimes it becomes a god. And, you know, we've seen stories where people, instead of letting the medical technology do what it's supposed to do best, will still try to take things into their own hand, believe that somewhere off in another country, maybe they can find something even better, and sometimes make things a whole lot worse than they had been. It also lists things such as human goodness, which is interesting because it's like, now, wait a minute. Isn't that supposed to be a good thing? Well, certainly it is, unless that becomes so much of a god that human goodness decides what our salvation is going to be. The next time you go to a funeral, not here at Faith Lutheran Church, see how many times, maybe the next 10, see how many times mentions are made of the good person who is now in a better place. Today, everybody's a good person and everybody's going to heaven. And oh, if it were only so, and in ways it should be, because Jesus did his job for them and for us. But unfortunately, where all we had to do was believe, there are those that still wanted nothing to do with him. That message of Christ crucified was still a stumbling block. Then there are such things that are considered family and friends. Again, it should be a good thing. About 20 years ago, we'd had a rather prominent family in our church they'd been quite regular attenders, and then all of a sudden they just stopped showing up, and I ran into a member of their family one day, and I'm like, I haven't seen you guys in a while. I said, could both of you working on Sunday or something? It's like, oh, no, Sunday's the only day we have together. And so, I mean, Sunday has become our family day. And I sat there thinking, okay, and? And I was waiting for the rest of the sentence that never came, that apparently that was supposed to mean now a family day means we don't have to bother with Christ in the church anymore. It's like, well, how did that happen? Unless all of a sudden family, instead of being the blessing from God, becomes your God. Then there are the pleasure areas. That would have to include things such as entertainment figures. We've talked about them. And sports. And we've talked about that before, how all of a sudden the weekends become the focus, not for our Lord and Savior, but for things that have to be done weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend. And then there's a couple more that weren't even in the book that I've seen as some of the most pernicious gods that we have seen in this society. And one of them, my friends, is the god of politics. Like all these other things that are supposed to be good things, there's goodness, when we turn politics into a god, there will be nothing behind it except resentment for other people, hatred towards those who are supposed to be respected, and all in all, an outlook on life that is turned much more negative than it is towards the cross. Friends, yes, we have our battles that we have to fight as well. But there's only one path. And even as we have to stay, not only stay that path towards preaching, receiving, and sharing of Christ crucified, we also must prepare ourselves to go into those places. Where there are sins, we identify them. We ask Christ for forgiveness for them. Where there are people, where it is a stumbling block, we go to them. We talk to them. We bring them into Christ crucified. Friends, no matter what the message of the cross may be, it is still the only way to heaven. And it's the only way to heaven. May we be prepared as God's people to give thanks that that message is the message of salvation. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And pray that it become that way for many others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is up on the screen or always on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all according to their needs. For true wisdom in Christ, that the faithful may recognize that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world. Let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations that lure, from the devil, the world around us, and that sinful self that would make other things God rather than you, who is our hope and our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. For a true zeal for that gospel message of Christ crucified, that all Christians may recognize the privilege it is to be able to share that message, to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received, to be able to share the hope that is within our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For a daily remembrance and return to our baptisms, for repentance and sorrow for sin, that a new person should daily emerge and arise before God to live in righteousness and purity forever, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who do not know Christ, or those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them or call them back to the Father. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who have been given positions in the public realm, including our first responders, our police and firefighters, also those who serve in the public realm, who make as our leaders and make and also defend our laws, those that serve in the military, those who serve in government at the national, state, county, and local levels, may all of them be able to use those things entrusted to them honorably and for the good of your people. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who suffer, suffering from hunger, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, sadness, loneliness, those who have suffered loss, or those who are going through times of mental illness, or those in any need of body, soul, heart, and mind, we now lift up before you, Lord, someone in our own life that is in need of the special comfort and strength that can come only from you. That your great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For you, O Lord, who as our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, as you have redeemed us from bondage of sin to death, grant us now, as we faithfully eat his body given unto death, drink his life's blood poured out for our salvation, that we may always remember the blessings that we receive in the communion into you and with one another through the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hear us now as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Friends, our closing collect is in the middle of page 7 or up on the screen. Please stand as we pray together. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he might bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our eyes may ever behold our Savior and his cross, that we may not fear the power of any adversaries, but rather rejoice in his victory for us through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Friends, if I find creative ways to have my name tag on, just remember we're going to be doing name tags the rest of the month. So, and by the way, if you've lost yours, just let us know here at church in the office. Also remember about daylight savings time next week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.